Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. This week's episode of the Human Technology Podcast deals again with autonomous driving. And it has a particular focus on autonomous trucks. And there's a reason why I will talk about this week, which I will mention during the podcast why right now and why I think this could be pretty much of a game changer. During my time at Mercedes, or at that time Daimler Chrysler in the second half of the 90s, we were working for not only the passenger car brands, but also for the truck brands. So I was able to get into both worlds, truck driving and passenger car driving, truckers and passenger car drivers. What I learned there about the relationship between trucks and passenger cars very often lead the technology development. Something is developed, some technology is developed, like an ABS system or a navigation system, and that is put into the high-end cars of the passenger car brands. And then it moves on to the middle class and the lower class cars, and then one day it pops up in trucks. It's taken over more or less one-to-one basis from the passenger cars to the truck. One of the latest examples of that is the MBUX, the Mercedes-Benz HMI system, infotainment system, which was invented in the cars first, and now today you find it in Mercedes trucks as well. Trucks lead from a technological point of view, lead in technology, if it's about efficiency. We talk about money, lower costs, faster transport, transporting more goods. So all these things, if that is the fact, then suddenly trucks are leading the technology development, and you will find all the new things in trucks. Another trend that I see is that autonomous driving lost a bit of its pace in passenger cars. Today we are talking about driver assistance systems, ADAS system, advanced driver assistance systems. We talk about level 2, so-called level 2 according to SAE, meaning the driver needs to be in control, in the control loop all the time, and the car does certain things under certain circumstances, in certain situations, in specified contexts by itself, and very often the driver needs to take over. And then we have 2+ and 2++. They are more like marketing things, moving level 2 towards level 3 step by step. And then the real definition of level 3 is that the driver can get out of the control loop in certain situations, and but needs to be ready to take over at any point in time. This is what's happening today, and the advancements there, the innovation, the level of innovation, the level of progress towards higher levels in passenger cars is slower than many expect. The OEMs, the car OEMs, have their focus on other things like the electric drivetrain, like the software-defined vehicle. That's where they put their focus on, and the automated driving on levels 3 and 4 are not that much in focus. Opposed to that, in the truck area. So, if we talk about trucks, about transport, about professional transport, autonomous driving, or at least highly automated driving, could pop up faster than I had believed it in the past. My original idea was I will not see autonomous cars driving on our streets in my lifetime. Maybe the truck industry is proving me wrong at the moment. It could be the case that we see them on the road in a couple of years, in a very few numbers of years. And the entire thing is more an economical problem. It's not so much a technological phenomenon, but it is an economical issue that's solved. And in this podcast episode, I plan to talk about three different things. Why is automated trucking or autonomous trucking an issue? Why is it important? Second one, what is the status? What's going on there on the roads? And what scenarios are planned? And of course, you will know me if you listen to this podcast pretty often. Open issues, problems. I'm going to name them. I will point towards them and talk about them. So let's start with the first one. Why is autonomous trucking important? And of course, it is economical reasons, the cost reason. And the entire market for autonomous trucking could be at about $600 billion annually in 2035. Not too far away from now, 10 years, and that is a serious market that we're talking about here. The cost for transporting goods on roads grew in the past years. The spot rates, what you pay as a fee or as a price for an immediate sending of goods, that grew in Europe since 2017 by 28%. In the United States, the costs of logistics grew from 7.5% of the annual income to 8.7% in 2020. So this is a clear tendency. Transporting goods on the road gets more and more expensive. Main reasons are higher incomes, higher wages for drivers, and growing cost for fuel and for road usage. And all of this will probably grow in the future, based on stronger emission standards, CO2, carbon dioxide fees you have to pay, the passing to emission-free vehicles, which is a technical thing, but also an economical one. I mean, if you drop a combustion engine, a diesel truck, and replace it with an electric truck or any kind of emission-free truck, you have to buy it. It costs you money. And this additional cost could be compensated up to a certain degree, maybe fully, when autonomous driving gets active. So we get a reduction of this additional cost that is foreseeable by replacing the driver, the human driver, with a computer. And calculations say the total cost of ownership, which is the overall cost, the total cost that you have if you run a truck, which is buying the truck, maintaining the truck, energy cost, driver cost, and everything, all the fees you have to pay, all the taxes you have to pay. If you add up all this, this is called the TCO, the total cost of ownership. And you can reduce this with autonomous trucks according to certain calculations by 40%, 40, 40% on long distance rides, on long haul cargo, and on short distances up to 15%, 1-5, 15%. So the longer ones, 40% lower, and 15% on the shorter routes. This is the economical side. Another one is the social demographic part of it. We are losing drivers almost on a daily basis. Today in the USA, about 80,000 drivers are missing, and it will be double that number by 2030. So in 5 years, we will have about 150,000, 160,000 drivers missing. The median of the trucker age is 46 years compared to 42 years of the rest of the working population, which means truckers, on average, are clearly older than the rest of the workforce. In Europe, it's pretty much the same situation. We are missing here in Europe 200,000 drivers. And until 2028, which is just 3 years, 4 years from now, this will quadruple, meaning 800,000 drivers will be missing in a few years from now. And 5% of the European drivers are under 25, and 33% are over 55. In Germany, we have the special situation that we used to have a mandatory army service until about 20 years ago. Many young men went there, made a truck driver license for the military, a military truck driver. And when you finished your army services, you were able to transfer that for a very small fee, something like $20 or something, into a civil, public, normal, regular truck driving license. And that was feeding the workforce of truck drivers over many, many years. Since we don't have a mandatory army service anymore in Germany, the young guys do not go to the army anymore. They don't make the military truck driver license, and so we are missing non-military truck drivers at the very end. One more figure here, the acceptance of driverless trucks is comparably high. In Germany, according to a study of Continental, 47% of all German citizens say it's probable that we have driverless trucks in the near future, and this usually correlates with a good acceptance, and I foresee growing numbers here. The more we have it, the more we discuss it, the more awareness is there, the higher the numbers of acceptance and expectation will be. A bit about the status and the future. So, in truck driving level 4, according to SAE, meaning the truck is solving almost any driving situation by itself, the driver is only required in a very limited number of driving situations, and the driving situations where the driver is required are foreseeable. And when I tell you about the concept that we are having at the moment, you will understand what this foreseeable basically means. What is the status of the development? Continental and Aurora Innovation, they have designed an hardware and software architecture for automated driving on level 4. They plan a series production starting in 2027. The truck maker, truck OEM MAN, had in April 2024 a test ride with an autonomous truck on an autobahn in Germany. It's all I found out it was the A9 in Germany, which is the autobahn between Berlin and Munich. My belief is Audi is located close to the Autobahn, and they are having a test bed there around the Ingolstadt, Munich area. And since MAN is part of the Volkswagen Group, just like Audi is, Probably they used it in that area, but I don't have any information. It's just something that I can imagine is probably true. Daimler Truck and Torc Robotics, so started in 2019 on a common development of autonomous trucks. The software proved that it works on autobahns, highways, larger roads, and well-controlled junctions. So it works on most of the use cases pretty well. And this is the reason why I believe, why I have this podcast episode today. They are testing the Freightliner Cascadia truck on public roads between Phoenix, Arizona, and Oklahoma City in Oklahoma. So, in the southwest of the United States, they are testing this and they have the idea of bringing this to the market in 2027. Having it series ready, autonomous trucks according to SAE Level 4 in the US market. This is the story, and when I read this, that sparked the idea in me. Maybe I will see autonomous cars on the road in my lifetime, and definitely worth an episode here of my podcast. The Cascadia is a heavy-duty truck of Freightliner, which is a Daimler company developed in the US, produced in the US. And yeah, they made enormous progress in this truck as far as automated driving is concerned. The truck is equipped with, compared to the manual series version, with advanced sensors, with advanced computer technology, and a redundancy of certain systems. This includes the steering, braking, the energy network inside the car, the communication network. And these redundancies are the game changer to allow a safe use of the car. Even if single components fail, you still have a second one on board, which in the automotive industry is not normal. You have this in aircrafts, and aircrafts, everything is there at least twice, sometimes even more. So if one thing fails, the other one takes over. For trucks, this is not a new concept since everybody knows it, but having this in a serious or close to serious truck, that is new. And again, the target is to bring this truck onto the roads in 2027 in the USA. They also plan for an electric drivetrain, for an electric version, the eCascadia. This is the battery electric version, which uses the same software from Torc Robotics, which, by the way, is a Daimler company, so it's not some kind of independent company. Yeah, this one combines then emission-free drivetrain and highly automated, almost autonomous driving technology, which basically shows the potential we have in sustainable transport. Let's talk about scenarios. How is it planned? And there are two scenarios. One is the short-term scenario, and the other one is the mid or long-term scenario. The short-term scenario is limited autonomy. So this is a typical example, and I said this is a typical thing in Level 4. That's driverless trucks on highways and transporting goods between certain delivery points. The driverless trucks will be used on the highways and in other geofenced areas. When autonomous trucks, maybe in a certain limited weather and site conditions, are allowed to drive. The scenario is that a driver, a human driver with a manually driven truck, picks up a trailer in a certain point in a distribution center and drives then to another location close to the highway, and then disconnects the manual truck from the trailer and connects the automated truck. And that one then is programmed and starts driving, for example, from Arizona to Oklahoma City. And at the end in Oklahoma City or wherever it goes to, the car parks at a certain defined point, stops at the edge of the city. So the truck will not drive into urban traffic, but it will drive on highways only. And there again, somebody is standing with a manual truck, disconnects the automated truck, connects the manual one, and pulls the trailer to wherever the goods shall be delivered. And then the goods, the cargo, arrive at the final destinations. So basically, the trucks are capable of navigating through urban traffic and pedestrian traffic, but the use case for this one is the highway in the southwest of the United States. And if you have driven there, you will know pretty straight roads, not too much traffic, a lot of space around it. So I believe that this area is a very good test bed, is a very good area to prove the concept of autonomous driving. And this shows why on long-term routes, long-haul cargo travel, the total cost of ownership will shrink by 40% or even more. Sorry. And on short, not. Because the relationship between the autonomous part of the drive and the manual part of the drive swings toward the manual part the shorter the route, the shorter the distance is. And this will start in 2027. In 2040, or between 2027 and 2040, step by step, full autonomous driving will be introduced. And they are driving really from cargo hub to cargo hub, and only on if you want to charge the truck, or if you want to load or unload it, maybe, or a trailer change is required, then maybe a human is involved. But the driving is mostly done by the computer. Maybe also if you have a construction place and there are roads that are not digitized that are changing, then you will need a human that drives your truck to the final destination. There are use cases where the level 5 of full autonomous driving without any human interference is possible. So we still remain on the SAE level 4 here, but with a far larger, almost full autonomous ride on the entire route. Yeah, over time, software will get better, maps will get better, and all the details will get better. Then more and more cargo hubs will be reachable with the autonomous trucks. And in 2040, they're expecting to have this one established in the market. Let's move on to the third point, to the open issues, the open points, the problems that may remain. The infrastructure is one. The existing infrastructure needs to be adapted in certain points to support the use of autonomous trucks. This may include V2X communication, vehicle to infrastructure communication, This may also include charging points. This may include clear visual indications of lanes. This is something that makes it easier for autonomous trucks to drive on highways. The legal framework needs to be adapted, so we need clear legal regulation to allow the use of autonomous cars and trucks on the roads and to take care about who is in charge if something goes wrong. And of course, it's a matter of safety. We need to prove that the safety of all traffic participants are in the foreground, are in the focus, have the highest priority. And for this one, we need extensive testing and validation. From my experience that I have, this will take longer and will be more effort than we expect today. This is always, if it's about testing and validation, you always need more time and more capacities than planned originally. Let's have a look at the legal situation in the European Union. Some countries, like for example Germany, we already have laws that allow the use of autonomous cars under certain conditions. Problem here is that the legal regulations between the single countries of the European Union, they vary. They vary as far as the development and, first of all, what the use of autonomous trucks is concerned. And this doesn't make it easier to develop a truck. Making a truck only for Germany, though, creating something that is driving on German autobahns only, doesn't make any sense at all. So if you want to drive from Berlin to Munich, you remain in Germany. But if you want to travel from Berlin to maybe Palermo in Italy, then you have to comply with German rules, Austrian rules, and Italian rules. And if they differ, then you have a serious problem. Then the problem, basic problem, is who pays if an autonomous truck has an accident? It needs to be defined who is responsible in the case of an accident. Is it the truck owner? Is it the truck maker? Is this the software developer? The problem is that responsibility cannot be taken by an artificial intelligence or a computer or some kind of abstract technological artifact. It can only be humans. And Mr. Chet Setcher, the former CEO of Daimler, said a couple of years ago, "We will take over responsibility for everything that happens with an autonomous Mercedes." Well, it's probably not that easy, first of all. Second, he's not in charge anymore. And we need to have some legal clarification about this, which is still not fully clarified. And it is a serious legal hurdle. In Europe, we need to have one standard and one application procedure for autonomous trucks. Again, it doesn't make any sense in Europe to have it for one single country, because the countries in Europe are not that big. And many of the trucks are cross-border truck drivers. The cargo travels, they are cross-border, and so we need to have one single legal body that allows this. And then at the very end, data protection, cybersecurity. It is, of course, very interesting for criminals to break into the steering of a truck that may have a load that is worth a couple of million euros, dollars, pounds. If you get into the steering of one of these trucks through some kind of open access point or access point that should be closed but is not as close as it's not as safe as it should be, And then you can steer the truck to some place where you can stop it, and then you can get these millions of dollars from the cargo and just leave the truck there. And this, of course, is a very attractive scenario. And we need all the cybersecurity measures to make it safe that it doesn't happen. For this podcast, I made a quick recherche on the situation in the USA, and to my surprise, it is similar to the situation in Europe. The states in the USA, the different states, they have different regulations, which again doesn't make too much sense. If you want to drive from Austin in Texas to Seattle, you will cross probably, I don't know, six, seven different states. And if you have different regulations in any of these, according to the as far as the autonomous trucking is concerned, then you get a serious problem. Then you have an issue with this one. And then I try to find out something about the legal situation in China. Totally unclear. I couldn't get any reliable information. I found some things, but highly doubtful sources, so I won't talk about this one. Sorry, I don't have any idea about what is the legal situation on trucking in China. This is called the Human Technology Podcast, so I'm always trying to look at what is happening to the humans. What will happen to human drivers if we get more and more automated trucks? So you have less rides. You can stay at home. You can stay overnight at home if you have these short haul truck drivers. And sometimes driving a truck on a highway is seen as some kind of romantic, just modern cowboy style. I don't believe that this is somehow true. It has never been really true. I was a professional driver while I was at university. Okay, it was a taxi driver in Berlin. It was not a truck driver driving through all of the US. But driving, professional driving, is not a piece of cake. It's not easy. It's not romantic. It is a tough job. And so we get rid of this one. And the traditional things drivers usually do, the core driving, will be reduced. Instead of this, drivers will take over tasks in the surveillance of fleets, in route planning, or maintenance of trucks. Sometimes human interaction will be required, particularly in complex traffic situations, or if you have technical issues, then you need a driver in the truck. But basically, this is the exception. So we will have less long-haul driving and less drivers at all, which is something that meets the social demographics that we talked about, because we will have less drivers in the next years. This needs some training, technical training for the drivers, raised flexibility of the drivers, new communication skills of drivers. So we need this training to keep the drivers in the fleets, in their jobs, to have them to have them in jobs. All right, so what's next? We talked about three things in autonomous trucking. Why is it important? Why do we need it? What is the status? What are the scenarios? And a couple of open issues and problems. About the future, based on a prognosis that I read, the realization in the United States will be the fastest globally. We will see about 13% of the heavy-duty trucks being autonomous in 2035, meaning automated on level 4, as I described it above. The comparably high wages and the lack of drivers create a financial pressure and economical pressure for automation. Also, the long distances you have in North America between the single cities and a very weak rail cargo network, they all support autonomous, automated trucks. Compared to that in Europe, although there is a potentially higher chance to save money because we have higher wages in Europe, and the higher total cost of ownership. Probably just 4, 5, 6% of all heavy-duty trucks will be automated in Europe. This is based on the higher complexity we have on European we have on European roads, and we have shorter distances to travel in Europe. So the distance between two points, the loading point and the unloading point of the cargo, are in average far shorter in Europe. And as we said, the advantage of in total cost of ownership is the bigger, the longer the route is. And so we will have probably a low acceptance rate, a low rate of autonomous trucks until, let's say, 2040. And beyond that, it may be anyhow difference. At the end, China will have a higher acceptance rate for autonomous trucks than Europe, but a lower one than the US. China is also pretty big. There are long distances to travel, but the wages, the incomes of the driver are very low, and this releases the pressure towards automation, and they stay the way they are. On the an advantage in China is that they have the OEMs with the competencies, so they can build these trucks in China for the Chinese market. All right, that's it for today. One final thing. I mentioned many figures here, many percentages and predictions. They're all taken from a paper of McKinsey. The paper is called "Will Autonomy Usher the Future of Truck Freight Transportation?" Published September 25, 2024. So that is the basis for all the numbers and figures I mentioned here. All the rest, the strategic part, is taken from my professional network, from other sources that I regularly read. Yeah, and it is the way that I see the world. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time, take care, and stay healthy.